Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to Thoughts on E-Learning. This is sponsored in part by Illuminate. Get your V-Room now and go ahead and go to the link and click on it and check out the V-Rooms. They're effective and I think you'll really like them, so I totally recommend them. So today we're talking about, does our e-celebrity culture affect e-learning? Online students are encouraged to interact with each other and the world, and to engage with each other in discussions and debates that meaningfully incorporate the course content and the world at large. News has always been a focal point, but what happens when celebrity gossip and scandal begin to dominate headlines? Further, what happens when the news is influenced or even provoked by bloggers seeking attention by performing stunts, parodies, etc., that place them firmly in the middle of the conversation? When O.J. Simpson was arrested in Las Vegas for armed robbery and a host of other charges, his scandal pushed aside the news that France was threatening Iran with war. When Britney Spears opened the Video Music Awards, VMAs, for MTV, not only did the awards show, which had been in decline, enjoy a 25% ratings increase, the fact that her performance of her song, Gimme More, was universally panned as a train wreck, a disaster, or even a career-ending humiliation, that fact generated a buzz that was still going strong more than a week later. Britney's performance, stage fright, tripping on the broken heel of a boot, impaired, her appearance, overweight, outfit too skimpy, made it all to all the traditional news outlets, CNN, Fox, major networks, morning shows, late night humor shows, and more. Further, Britney's performance was the subject of debate in offices, Starbucks, beauty salons, radio talk shows, but above all, in blogs and online videos. Perhaps even more telling of the performance's impact on the culture at large, even if for only its own 15 seconds of notoriety, was the fact that Britney's video performance spawned a wide array of video responses. Chris Crocker, a 19-year-old fan, created an impassioned "Leave Britney Alone" video while in front of his webcam, which, within 4 days of being posted on YouTube, had been downloaded and played by 8 million viewers. Other videos were parodies of her outfit, her performance, her love handles. When the rather odd photos of a boxing champion came out and he appeared in fishnet and a woman's black bikini, it was immediately viewed as a visual allusion to Spears in her sparkly black lingerie look, bikini, and fishnet outfit. Chris Crocker's video became an excellent example of a viral video, one that is disseminated throughout the web and gains enormous traffic as people email the links to each other, post links on their blog, or embed the script in their social networking space, MySpace, etc. Of course, it's every parodist's or prankster's dream to create a viral video. After all, there is no doubt that people will see it. The average American may not be able to tell you where Turkmenistan is, but he or she can tell you which celebrity shaved her head and brandished an umbrella at a car full of paparazzi. In Florida, a college student was administered electrical shocks via taser when he became disruptive at a speech given by former presidential candidate John Kerry. In fact, it was recorded by a phone or other camera handheld and instantly posted on the web, and the fact that it was posted there so quickly provoked intense debates about free speech and police brutality. At the same time, there was the very real possibility that the whole thing was a prank, not the tasering, of course, but the provocation, and that prank was inspired by a spectrum of reality shows, many of which focus on playing practical jokes and pulling rather harsh setups and traps or gags? If so, the prank provoked hard news. The bloggers make the news itself. In their traditional classroom, the world at large included mass media, but the participatory world of blogging, sharing videos, social networking, text messaging, instant messaging, and even email did not exist. The staged for television rallies of the past and the show villages for media visits and public relations seem really primitive, and their artifice seems all too penetrable today with our awakened consciousness. The result is that the average e-learner has very different expectations about the kind of information that is available today and the way that one can or should obtain it. Serious sources such as television news and blogs, YouTube, MySpace, may actually have identical information. In many cases, the hard news services rely on the blogs for their information, which can make it quite difficult for fact-checkers. E-learner expectations about current information and its access can be summarized as follows. 1. It has to entertain. As a result, short, engaging clips are better than long ones. They have to engage the emotions and keep the viewer interested. 2. The more spontaneous or live the production, the more believable or authentic the video is. Production values are not as important as the way it engages. Reality programs have conditioned viewers to believe that authenticity comes in pixely, low-resolution videos and images obtained by handheld devices. 3. Authenticity is no longer automatically attributed to the official version or function of perception of wealth or power behind the company producing the video. In fact, many viewers are suspicious of, quote, big media, since it is assumed that they often have a commercial or political agenda, which results in spin or outright fabrication of facts. 4. Viral videos have more penetration than videos disseminated via, quote, normal channels. Short, spontaneous videos that capture the imagination and passions of the viewer take off and then spawn, producing views that increase logarithmically. And these are like viewer statistics. So that's pretty interesting if you really think about it. And you think about it too, the viral video is an excellent example of a meme in action and demonstrates how waves and tipping points occur in the wild. 5. Interaction is a must. Viewers want to interact with the e-media event. They want to be able to voice their opinion and to see their posts being responded to. Celebrities provide the players and stories that individuals want to discuss. 6. Celebrities and their sagas create socialization events in the virtual world, and in a world where face-to-face socialization is becoming seemingly less important. 7. E-learners will not respond enthusiastically to stale discussion boards. They want to be able to relate their own experiences and discuss issues that connect to their ideas, views, and values. 8. Socialization viewers. Socialization happens and in the ways of new communication. Socialization process. Okay, this is, I'm sorry, I'm sitting here going, okay, let's say socialization process that informs viewers in the way of the new communication norms. The socialization process is not just about the use of celebrity stories to express values, beliefs, and mores. Instead, the socialization process involves fashion, new vocabularies, and technology itself. What are the celebrities wearing? What words do you use to describe current events? What kind of MP3 player or cell phone do you have? E-learners learn more via the web and celebrity-driven discourse than in their non-virtual world. So I can say maybe that's a little bit broad, but they learn more about current trends via the web and celebrity-driven discourse than in their non-virtual world. I mean, I think you can say that. And, you know, it's better than magazines, except maybe us or people. The result is that e-learners are expected to have discussions and interactions on the internet that put everything out in the open. As a result, the non-interactive course that is heavily text-based is likely to bore the average learner. The average course is likely to feel like a tight, closed-in box rather than an e-learning space where memes flourish and students engage in the kind of real-world discussions, media events, and communications that make them feel connected. And basically, in the end, it means that learning can take place. So this is really the key. Learning takes place only after true engagement occurs. So, you know, the goal is to find the true engagement. And engagement that worked in the past, engagement strategies that worked in the past, just don't work today. You have to do this. So, I hope you've enjoyed this. This is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to Thoughts on E-Learning.